Continuing our Farm Fresh Hour here with Julie Murphy. Some more interesting things about fruitcake, our farm fresh commodity that's in our home maintenance calendar. It can tell your fortune.
That's one of the reasons why I love the fruitcake. Again, if people go to the Fill Your Plate blog, they'll find three different articles, and there's some fascinating facts about it. And the only thing that we're still missing, and so if any of our farmers and ranchers listening want to send us their favorite fruitcake recipe, please do, because we need it for Fill Your Plate.
One of the things in those articles that you'll find at fillyourplate.org is there's an old folklore that if a single female, after leaving a wedding, will put a piece of fruitcake under her pillow, that night she'll dream about who her future husband is.
Yeah, that one I kind of chuckled about. Maybe that's my problem. I haven't put any fruitcake under my pillow. The other thing, too, that I like to promote about fruitcake is a lot of the fruit right here that's grown in Arizona you can use for your fruitcake.
It was also used as a lucky charm by nut growers who would make a fruitcake but would save it to the next harvest before they would eat it as a good luck charm for right. The next harvest. You know, there's a lot more interesting facts that we'll get to, or maybe we won't, because beef is a lot more interesting to me, the conversation.
Me too.
But did you see this event in Manitou Springs, Colorado? The perfect thing to do with a fruitcake. In January every year, there's the Manitou Springs Fruitcake Toss Competition. It's for all ages, but the different classifications is the hand toss for distance, an award for accuracy, for speed, and then there's a... Have you seen those water balloons that take two people to hold, and one person, you know, pulls back in the middle, this big slingshot. They've even got a rubber slingshot.
For the fruitcake toss. I've also read that a lot of long-distance runners and hikers and, you know, sports enthusiasts like leftover fruitcake as a snack, a protein bar, because... Again,
packed with calories.
Yeah, packed with calories, and it just is an energy boost. So sometimes our sports enthusiasts will pack those in there.
It sure beats Goop.
Yeah.
Goop is this runner's paste, and I used it quite a bit when I was running the halvers and half marathons and all that. Oh, gosh. But you know what? It worked.
Well, let's talk about something that's enjoyable to eat, like beef. And we've got Arizona Grass-Fed Beef Company on the line with us, Mr. Tim Peterson. And looking at your website, you have farmers market bundles that have multiple different products, but you can also buy them individually.
So what we're curious about, Tim, is the variety of your product lines, because you've wanted to make sure you maximize the use of the whole carcass when you harvest.
Well, of course, we have all of the... Most of the cuts available. We make four different flavors of beef sausage, chorizo, taco, Italian, and breakfast. So the ground beef gets utilized more and more. Of course, the bones go to our bone broth kitchen in Camp Verde. We harvest as much of the fat as we possibly can, and we make another product with a partner. Another partner out of Colorado, and it's called tallow. It's shortening. It's grass-fed, grass-finished shortening, and it comes in a jar, so the fat doesn't go to waste. We sell kidney, heart, liver. We actually utilize the spleen in some of our raw pet food products, which we really haven't launched or had the time to really start selling. We've sold it in a very limited fashion. The oxtail goes into the bone broth. The bones, after they're made into bone broth, they get turned into bone meal. We have a hammer mill that turns the bones into bone meal. There's still a lot of nutrition left in the bone meal. And then we actually just met with some partners that are going to be buying the blood, and we're going to be shipping the blood out of the country for medical research.
Well, what about the hide?
Well, you know, the sad thing is there's not really much money in hides anymore. We have so many synthetic leathers out there, Naga hide and synthetic leathers. We used to actually sell the hides, but there's not a market for it in Arizona anymore.
Do you have, like, gift packages? Is there a place when we go to the website that especially because we're in the holidays, or we just simply do what Romy did and ordered tri-tip for your wife?
Yeah, I don't think there's any special gift packages. One of our newest deals on the internet is a subscription-based format where you can pay a subscription. This is becoming very popular, by the way. And a box of beef shows up at your doorstep every week. And then, of course, you can choose from all these different items like tri-tip and brisket and short ribs. And more people are shopping for their food via the internet because they really, truly want to know where their food is coming from. And the internet's a great place to do that.
It makes me think of the CSAs for the more produce-focused farms where you have a subscription and every week you get a basket full of produce that's in season that it can either be delivered to your door or picked up at drop-off locations. It sounds similar to that.
Yeah, it's shipped every week, frozen, but it's, you know, our beef is made fresh every week. I mean, we take just enough cattle into our plant that we're going to process that week. And, of course, we have to ship this product frozen. We do try to give the customer as many choices and different products. So, like I said, you could buy kidneys, liver, heart, oxtail, short ribs. We want to utilize every bit of that carcass that we can.
So variety is a focus in the marketing here.
Yes.
And it sounds like there's hides available. So I'm going to bring back the demand for natural leather products and furniture. And you know what we use cattle hide for at our house is area rugs.
Yes, my parents do the same thing in their house.
You're welcome to come to the plant anytime you want, pick up some hides. So just let me know how many you'd like to have.
You got it. How many acres of land do you need for a cattle in Arizona, grass-fed cattle?
So personally, our ranching operation consists of about 250,000 acres, and that's wide open range land. We're looking to acquire a few more ranches. We buy a lot of cattle from four different Native American tribes. The Navajo Nation is 22 million acres. It's a very large tract of land. They raise some great cattle up there. We work very closely with their demonstration ranch up on that community. But we tell people that our beef is better than organic because it comes right off of, you know, wide open millions of acres of rangeland. I would say one time I sat down and added up the partner ranches and our ranches, and we could easily say that our cattle come off of close to 8 to 10 million acres of Arizona rangeland.
Wow.
And what are they eating? I mean, a lot of times when you're I've been in the desert. I've seen cows eat cactus and prickly pear. Is that still considered under the grass fed? Or what if they took a bite of juniper tree?
Well, there's no grain in the cactus. You know, desert ranches grow winter fillery, and they grow summer fillery. Fillery is a natural grass that grows in the desert. And it's very high in protein. At different parts of the year, our cattle will come off of more southern Arizona ranches as opposed to northern Arizona ranches because there's more grass growing in the southern part of the state. But cattle will eat cactus. They typically eat cactus when they don't have anything left as a resort. So if there's no grass, they'll bite into a cactus. You know, we know they come off a wild range, and mostly all they're eating is grass.
And what's so neat is the conversion capacity of a beef animal. And we don't think about it. There's a lot of acres out there, especially here in Arizona, that you can't convert to anything else in agriculture. I mean, it has to be rangeland. And here we're maximizing the use. It's been proven, study after study, maximizing the use of some of these, especially public lands, to raise some really quality beef. Arizona beef, you know, throughout the state, from a lot of our ranchers, we have great beef, and we have great, there's great credit to our ranchers on the quality of beef that we raise out here in Arizona.
Very true. People would be amazed at how much grass grows in the high desert, in the Sonoran Desert. It's really amazing how much grass grows. It's got to rain. Obviously, our business is predicated on rain. All the rain we've been having here is great because we like grass-fat cattle. That's what makes our business tick.
Now, and preparing for this broadcast, I noticed on your website you're members of the Arizona, American Grass-Fed Association, and I downloaded their ruminant standards, and this is pretty intense. What's the benefit of having something grass-fed versus something that you'd mentioned, you know, there's no grain in cactus, so what's the downside of cattle eating grain or oats or wheat, barley? You know, one of the things that you can buy at any feed store for cattle is cob, and cob is just an acronym for corn, oats, and barley, and you can get it dry or you can get it wet, and if it's wet, it's got molasses flavored all over, sprinkled all or mixed in with it.
Sure. Well, grass-fed beef, you know, cattle are ruminant animals. They were designed to eat grass. I don't talk negative about anything that goes on as far as feeding cattle. There's plenty of people that love grain-fed beef. A lot of studies have shown that grass-fed beef is a little healthier for us. It's high in fatty acids, the omega-3 fatty acids. It's a different fat. The fat is a yellow fat. It's loaded with carotene. The CLAs are much higher. The nutrients. People have to make their own decisions on where they want their cattle to come from. Our cattle don't have growth hormones. Growth hormones are typically used to promote, growth a little faster in a feedlot situation. They're in and out of the body pretty quick, but some people have opinions about that. Our cattle are antibiotic free. We do a lot of antibiotic testing in our plant. Having a plant gives us the ability to test for all that. And so I encourage people to just get on the internet and do some research. I think the big thing, Rosie, is people just really want to know where their food is coming from. That seems to be the story. You know, our ranches, our slaughter plant, the completely integrated system, they know where that beef is coming from. We know what ranch it's coming from. And there are plenty of studies out there that support grass-fed beef. It's growing at a rate of about 30% a year. It's the way everybody ate beef prior to feedlots coming online. Go ahead, Julie.
The neat thing is that we have an option in the market like that. And we're going to ask you a little bit more next segment about some things related to beef.